We all have that one relationship that just doesn't seem to go away, and everything you remember from that relationship seems to be pulled straight out of a soap opera. Today, I'm going to tell you guys about my abusive relationship, how I got out of it, and how I deal with it now, and how much better off I was once I finally got out of it. This is Trauma Bonding. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast where if you have the time, and I know you do, then we've got the trauma. My name's Emma Tatro, and today we're going to be talking about abusive relationships. Now, I want to give context to this story by saying that I am no longer the person or in the headspace that I was when I was 15, 16. I've grown a lot. I've had a lot of personal growth and a lot of really great things happen to me in my life. That being said, this episode is going to cover the topic of suicide, and it will get very touchy and it will get very real. It will be very transparent, and I want everyone out there who may be struggling with suicidal thoughts to know that they're not alone, and there are so many ways to get help and to feel free of the feelings that they might be feeling now. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Always remember that there is help out there. Now, we've got quite a bit to cover, so let's get into the episode. Before I get into it, I want you guys to understand the weird process I kind of went through to get ready for this episode. I created a playlist of over 180 songs that I listened to during my emo phase because when this relationship happened, it kind of ushered in my emo phase naturally. And let me tell you, if you haven't ever just gone back and listened to an album or a couple songs from like a time period when you really went through it, I would highly recommend. It is both therapeutic and odd. It's really hard to describe. It's almost like just feeling all the feelings again. It's really interesting. But that being said, the story begins in 2013. I was a sophomore in high school, and I had just gone through not a bad breakup, but you know, like my first really big breakup. It took a lot out of me because I really didn't know how to break up with someone. And you know, your first relationship is always your hardest and one of the biggest learning experiences you have, but it wasn't a relationship that really defined me in any way. So at the end of my freshman year, after I'd gone through this breakup, there was another guy at school that I'd kind of had my eye on, and he had a really bad reputation. Needless to say, I was always kind of into the bad boys, and this guy was no exception. I want to say he was 18 or almost 18 when all of this started, and he actually decided to drop out of school because he was going to be there at least another year or two. So once he officially was no longer enrolled in school, he had started messaging me on Facebook, and I can't remember for what, because at this point I've blocked him on everything. So over the summer, we really didn't talk a whole lot, and then going into my sophomore year, he and I began messaging quite a bit more, and this should have been the point where I started seeing red flags because things got really toxic really quickly. We weren't even officially dating yet, and I would get really jealous over seeing him like girls' pictures on Instagram and, you know, comment on their things on Facebook. And he never apologized. He never felt sorry. He never tried to explain it. He just brushed it off as me being a little crazy. And I don't know why, but I let him do that. I let him make me feel like I was acting crazy, and I wasn't. I was acting very rationally and trying to protect my feelings. It wasn't until November that we actually started dating seriously, and it did not take long before people were messaging me and stopping me in the hallway and asking me if I was okay and if I needed anything. It was like people didn't think that I was in this relationship because I wanted to be in this relationship, and that, again, should have been a red flag, and it wasn't. So this relationship lasted from November until March. Around February is when things started getting really dangerous. I remember we were going to Olive Garden to have lunch with his aunts, and we had stopped at the pharmacy and we were in the drive-thru. And while we were sitting there, he had asked to see my phone because his phone was dead and he wanted to check something. So naturally, I gave him my phone, didn't really think anything of it, and he went through my messages. He read a conversation between a good friend and I had, you know, told her that I was feeling a little weird about the relationship and that it didn't feel like my first relationship had, which, you know, wasn't great, but I felt a lot more stable and safe in that relationship. And he flipped out. He got really quiet, didn't talk to me, gave me really short answers. And as we were sitting in the pharmacy drive-thru, he opened the door and got out. He ran, I want to say 2 blocks from the pharmacy before we caught up to him. And when we got him back in the car, he refused to talk to me. He started crying and he was acting like I was breaking up with him. He read a conversation that was very confidential and that really broke my trust with him. But I was young and I was really dumb and I ignored the red flags again because 15-year-old me was so terrified of being alone that I would rather be with someone that made me feel like I was less than important. So after that, things again started to get worse. And I'd have people messaging me on Facebook saying, you know, did you see what so-and-so did with him? Did you see that he was doing all these things with all these girls? And he was telling me that he was going to work and that he wasn't doing any of this stuff. And his biggest lie to me during our relationship was that he had never done drugs and he refused to do drugs, nor did he drink. And the entire time he was smoking weed and God knows what else. But I didn't care so much that he was doing those things. I cared more that he was lying to me and doing it so well. Anytime I confronted him about the girls or the drugs or the drinking, he turned it into a situation where if I loved him, I wouldn't question him. And because I was scared to be alone, I stopped questioning him. But then in February, I got really sick. Like, I was dehydrated, I couldn't get up, I slept all day, I couldn't keep anything down. It was really scary because I'd never been sick like that before. So when we went to the doctor, they did a strep test and then they did a mono test, and both of them came back negative. But I exhibited more signs of mono than I did for strep, so they kind of ignored the test and told me that I had mono. And this specific doctor's visit also plays into a lot of other things that came to fruition in my life, but those are later stories to tell. So when my mom found out that I had mono, she was super upset and she wanted to know how I'd gotten it. And mono is one of those things that, like, you can only get it a certain number of ways, and it was pretty obvious that I had gotten it from my boyfriend because I didn't hang out with anybody else. That led me to believe and confirm that he was cheating on me. With who and how many girls, I honestly couldn't tell you. I still honestly do not know to this day. I told him that I had mono and he really didn't react. I don't think he understood what that meant for him or what that meant that I knew. And when I got better, we started seeing each other again, and again, things got worse. By March, I was really trying to avoid going over there, but he really wanted to see me, so I asked my mom to drive me over there because I wasn't old enough to drive yet. And when she dropped me off, I went inside, and I was there for about 20 to 30 minutes before shit really hit the fan. We were sitting in his room, and he started yelling at me and accusing me of cheating on him, which, gaslighting. But then he was saying that he had all these screenshots and text messages of me talking to my ex-boyfriend, which I was, but we weren't talking like we were going to get back together. He needed a friend, and I was being a friend for him. That's all it really was. But of course, he didn't believe me, and he kept gaslighting me. I was trying to defend myself, and he got in my face, pushed me up against a wall, and when I told him that I wanted to leave, he punched a hole in the wall next to my head. I had little pieces of drywall in my hair, and I was crying, and I wanted to go home, so I ended up calling my ex-boyfriend, and he came, and he got me in his dad's truck, and brought me back to his house because they lived in the same town. His dad called my mom and she came and got me. All the meanwhile, while this is happening, my boyfriend is running from his house to my ex-boyfriend's house and yelling about how he wants to fix things and really just making no sense. So my mom takes me home, and from that point until the end of August of that year, I was under lockdown. I had my phone taken away from me. I was only allowed to watch TV. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go hang out with my friends unless I had permission from their parents that I could go there. I wasn't allowed to do anything or go anywhere or talk to anyone without permission or supervision. 15, 16 year old me doesn't feel like this is fair, is really upset, is throwing a fit. And for some fucking reason, I defended him. I said that I provoked him. I said that it was all my fault, that we were fighting. I was so brainwashed at this point that getting a hole punched in the wall next to my head didn't change my viewpoint. The relationship turned into this weird star-crossed lovers thing from my perspective, and I'm honestly really embarrassed saying that. Because he wasn't anything. He still isn't anything. He used me and put lies and ideas in my head to make me into what he wanted me to be. And then for some reason that wasn't enough, so he cheated on me. And then lied, and then gaslighted me, and told everyone that I was crazy. So I spent that entire summer trying to find ways to communicate with him. I even at one point almost walked all the way to the highway, which is about a 2 to 3 mile walk, just to have the chance to hitchhike into town with a stranger. Like, I sound crazy. I'm absolutely crazy at this point. My depression is at an all-time high. I have no friends. I have no life. I'm at home. I'm stuck. I don't have a job. I lost 30 pounds. Sitting at home doing nothing. I was pale, I was sad, and I really contemplated taking my own life. Not because I couldn't be with him, but because of what he'd turned me into. School starts back up. I'm a junior now, and things are a little bit better. I'm going to school and I'm getting social interaction, so that's really nice. I still have no phone, but this meant that I couldn't check in on him and I couldn't see the things that he was posting or the girls' pictures that he was liking, so I gained a lot of self-confidence during that time. But then he started messaging all of my friends and was flirting with them and asking them to come over and saying that they should come see his band practice. And before you start thinking, Emma, why are you dating a guy in a band? I thought it was cool. And it's honestly not, because they never did anything, they never went anywhere, they never played any shows, but that's completely besides the point. He had girls over almost every single night, and none of them were ever my friends because my friends knew better than to go over there, especially because if I found out, then I would tell my parents, and my parents would tell their parents, and it would just turn into a giant shit show. So even going into my junior year, I kind of still believed that we'd have a chance, that we'd be together someday, and it makes me sick thinking about now. But looking back, I really didn't have many friends, and the friends that I did have, I didn't see outside of school, and when I'd go home, I didn't have much to do, so obsessing over this guy that didn't care about me was my full-time job. The rest of junior year was mostly uneventful. I did, however, meet my best friend that year, and I don't think I could have survived the rest of high school without her. She and I were like carbon copies of each other, and even though this obsession with this guy was really bad for me, she really tried to help me get through it, and she is the main reason that I got over him. I also don't think I've given enough credit to my mom yet. The summer that I was locked in my house, my mom and I had more fights than we've ever had in my entire existence. And despite that, she still loved me and she still did what was best for me. And the best thing for me was to keep me away from that man. During that time, there was a point where we were fighting about this and I was crying and I started running upstairs and I turned around and in a fit of anger, I said, I know you're only doing what's best for me, and I know you love me, but this really sucks and I hate you, or something along those lines. My mom did everything she needed to, she did everything right, and I honestly don't think I would have turned out as well if she hadn't. So going into senior year, I didn't have any connection with this guy, I didn't talk to him, he was blocked on everything, and I'd finally gotten all my social medias back, and I met this really awesome guy, and he was really sweet, and he treated me the way that I should be treated. He was my first really positive, healthy, loving relationship. It was maybe 3 days after we'd made things Facebook official that Mr. Toxicity decided to message my new boyfriend and threaten him. Now these two had history, but they weren't super close, and the things that he was saying to my new boyfriend were really weird and really messed up, and essentially he threatened him and said that when I turn 18, he was gonna take me back. If that doesn't scream possessive and crazy, I, at this point, don't know what does. So I ignore it, and he and I date, and, you know, we end up breaking up, but he and I are still really good friends to this day, and I'm really thankful for him and everything that he's done for me, not just in terms of, you know, making me feel like I deserve more, but just being a really good friend. Going into the spring of 2016, I had graduated high school early, so I didn't have to go back, I didn't have to do any more classes, and I got to kind of just chill until graduation. 10 out of 10, would recommend that. And around the same time, my best friend was moving into a new house. So I was over there a lot, helping her paint and decorate and just, you know, having really good, wholesome high school fun. I am living my best life at this point. And then I graduated and I wasn't really sure yet what I wanted to do, but I was really hopeful for the future. From then until now, he and I haven't had nearly any contact. There's been a couple times he's messaged me happy birthday and I block him. Emma, this story is really boring. Emma, this doesn't really have any good content. And that's because I wanted you guys to experience this story the way that I experienced it, not knowing the truth about who I was really dating. The craziest part of this story is yet to come. Throughout this entire relationship, I was in the dark about more than I had ever imagined I could be. Remember how I said people were messaging me and warning me about this guy and trying to convince me not to date him? Well, they had pretty good reason to do that. Talking about this is really hard for me, more so because I feel stupid, because I didn't recognize the signs and I didn't listen to people. It's not that it makes me look stupid. I should have known my worth and realized that I deserved so much better. The drama that consumed my life when I was dating this guy was because he was a registered sex offender. And you're probably wondering how I didn't know that or how I didn't suspect that. And it's because he didn't come off as the type of guy who could do something like that. And obviously when I confronted him about it, he lied to me. And with all the other lies he had told me, I wasn't going to believe him. Now, I don't know 100% for fact why or what caused him to be placed on the list of registered sex offenders. I do know that there were quite a few court cases he was involved in. A website that I like to use all the time is Judicy. At least in Illinois, a good majority of our counties submit their court cases, appeals, pleas, fees, all that kind of legal stuff to Judicy, and you can do a public background check on anyone if you have their last or first name. I've used this site on many first dates just to make sure I wasn't going out with someone who could really do me any harm or had any outstanding criminal charges against them. I really advocate using Judicy if you live in Illinois, at least, to run background checks and even just to check your own legal stuff, because I've Googled myself plenty of times and all I have on there is a speeding ticket. I digress. the story really picks up at this point because there's a bit of information that I kind of left out, and it's more so because I'm not sure what I can say about it. Like I mentioned before, during my senior year, I didn't have too much contact with this guy, and for good reason. And there was a day in particular where my mom had asked me to come with her to a doctor's appointment because she said that they were doing something to her that wouldn't allow her to drive home. So she needed me to come with and be her ride back home, which I was totally fine with doing, but it seemed kind of off to me because my mom didn't have any outstanding medical issues that I had known about. I mean, I didn't ask many questions, but I probably should have. And before we went to her appointment, we had stopped at Walmart. When we got back to the car, she told me that we weren't going to a doctor's appointment, but that we were actually going to talk with the district attorney of our county. I had been subpoenaed to testify against my ex-boyfriend in a case that I'm not sure that I can really talk about. I know it's no longer ongoing, but I don't really know all the legal ramifications of talking about cases you've been involved in. So for my own safety, but also just the respect of the people involved, I'm going to try and leave out as many details as I humanly can with still giving you guys a gist of what had happened. I believe these two instances happened on the same day, but I think I kind of repressed a little bit of this because it was really traumatic for me. But the first thing that I remember is that we went to a building that wasn't in the courthouse, but it was across the street from the courthouse in my town. I met with two people. One of them was a woman and one of them was a man. And he basically told me that my ex-boyfriend had so many charges against him and that my name had been brought up because they had seized his phone and his laptop and anything that he'd really had on him to kind of collect evidence. And in doing so, they found a lot of explicit pictures, and they either wanted to confirm or rule out that I was in these pictures. And because I was a minor, my mom had to be there with me still. I was very uncomfortable with doing this in front of my mother, obviously, but also because I just didn't know what was going on. I felt very lost, very trapped, very lied to and confused. So once the man had finished briefing me on what was going on, I was brought into a different room with a two-way mirror and a woman who had a big bulky laptop. And I think you can kind of draw the conclusion as to what happened in there. I don't want to go into detail. When we were done there, I went to the courthouse and I met with the district attorney, and he basically told me the entire case against my ex-boyfriend. And he was like, do you want to be involved in this? Like, what is your relationship with him now? What was your relationship with him? Did he ever do any of these things to you? Did you guys ever, you know, he was just asking a lot of really personal questions. And of course, because he was 18 and I was 16, they wanted to make sure that he wasn't doing what he had done before. And, you know, I gave them all the information that they needed. And it was just, oh, it still really bothers me, and I definitely think that it has formed me into the person that I am. I'm not really afraid to talk about stuff like this because, A, I am my own person. I am who I am because of the things that have happened to me, and while I don't like to reminisce on this particular moment in my life, I think it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. If I'd heard somebody have a podcast or a show or anything really where they'd talked about being involved in something like this, I think it would have made me feel a little less alone as someone who was about to graduate high school and had no real world experience and was suddenly involved in this really big court case. And B, this guy can't touch me. He has no effect on me. He has no control over me now. It's something that I hope everyone who's ever had an abusive relationship can feel someday. So with this whole case happening, my mom opted to have an order of protection put on me until I turned 18. So that meant he couldn't have any physical, verbal, social contact with me. He also wasn't allowed to have any social media for a really long time. He basically got scrubbed off the face of the earth. It was the best thing for me. At this point, like I said, didn't have contact with him, but I know that in my heart, I felt like he was being done wrong. And I don't know why. I think it was the whole abusive relationship mindset, but I still had this feeling in my heart that he didn't deserve any of what was happening to him. I found out during this meeting with the DA that if he didn't take a plea, he was going to go to trial and I was going to have to testify about our relationship and everything that had happened in it, what he had said to me and what he had done to me, including punching a hole in the wall next to my head, because technically that's child endangerment.
It's crazy. I didn't, at the age of 17, think that I would ever have to do something like that. Thankfully, he took the plea case and he went to jail. I don't know how long he was in jail. He was there long enough that I had completely moved on with my life. I went off to college. I started dating much better individuals and I did a lot more productive things with my life. So between my freshman year of college and now, which I am hopefully going to be graduating from college here soon, he and I have had little to no contact. And it is honestly the best thing that's ever happened for my mental health. There have obviously been times, especially when he first got out of prison, that he's tried to contact me, but that hasn't been super successful for him. For a while, he was trying to tell me that the girl he was with right after he got out of jail was abusive and she did all these drugs and she was just so mean to him, and I never replied to any of his messages, so I don't know why he kept trying to contact me and make me feel sorry for him, because honestly, I didn't feel any sympathy for the bed that he created because now he had to lie in it. And this last Christmas, he messaged me Merry Christmas. First off, I didn't know that he had a Facebook or was allowed to have a Facebook, so that was weird. But again, I didn't reply because he is someone who is not worth my time, my replies, or even an ounce of my breath. And in the end, this story isn't about him. This story is about the things that I went through and the person that I became because of the things that he put me through. Nobody who's ever been in an abusive relationship comes out of it thankful for the person that abused them, but I am thankful for the experiences I had in this relationship because it taught me my own worth, and it taught me that no guy is worth getting yelled at, feeling crazy over, or second-guessing yourself, because at the end of the day, you are way more important than any boyfriend, girlfriend, or registered sex offender. I want to really thank everybody for listening today. I know that this is a really weird story, and there are many more weird relationship stories to come. But if you enjoy listening to me ramble about my failed relationships and all the guys that I've dated, let me know, because I really enjoy telling my stories, and I know that there's a handful of people who listen, but I think if I can at least help one person, that it's worth more than anything. Again, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.